I'm going to be starving when we're done this episode.
I know. I do use this one every year, though. And you know why?
Only grow mint in containers. Mm-hmm.
This lettuce is called Drunken Woman.
I call it the teapot. And every year I do a big pot and I plant herbs in it for Jenny because she loves her herbal tea.
Why do we take the flowers off?
You're like, you never let your kids go into the candy shop. And then when you do, they're like, candy! Candy!
Welcome back to the Healthful Gardeners Podcast. Colin, this is my favorite week so far of our seed starting mini series.
Because we got new mugs?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. We have to talk about these mugs because when we said we're doing a podcast studio, we're like, we need mugs.
Yeah. Got to have mugs.
Of course.
Yeah. You know how you know about true gardeners? Because we've literally already turned it into a cover pot.
I mean, does anybody else do this? Do they ever like take whatever they have around the house and just put plants in it?
Jenny was like, look, I don't mind that you propagate plants. But she's like, can you buy something proper? I really don't like seeing like empty queso dishes and mustard pots.
Very eclectic.
And I was like, but they work. And yes. She's like, yeah, other things work too.
I know. Okay, so this,
other than the mugs, why is it your favorite week? Sorry, I totally cut you off.
Because out of everything that we've talked about so far, I feel like I've been the most excited to talk about leafy greens and herbs because they're so versatile. They're so easy to grow. Yep. And everything else that we've talked about needs full sun, lots of care, sometimes transplanting. And this is probably, I think you had said, like the most beginner way to get into a vegetable garden.
They mature real quick.
Yeah.
Like you can be getting harvests in from time of planting seed to cutting and eating in like 30 to 45 days.
Do you say herb or herb? I think we've talked about this before.
Herb.
You say herb, I say herb. So I went around the entirety of Golden Acre today.
Of course you did.
Because I wanted to know. I'm like, it just seems like one of those age old debates. Do you say herb or do you say herb? I found two people that actually say herb.
Herb. Is it more of like an American thing? Like the, you know how like the Americans, they drop the U from like neighbor or color?
Yeah.
Do they drop the H from herb?
I think it depends very much so on like the way that you use it. I actually was talking to Rachel downstairs and she said, so I caught her saying both of them. So she said, oh, I normally say like, I like herbs, right? But then she said, oh, last year I was working in the annuals and herbs department. And it just sort of like strung together.
Isn't that interesting?
It was very interesting. And then Guy says herb.
Yeah,
and,
but he's French.
Yeah. And Birgit says herb.
She's German. Well, no, she's actually Canadian. I'm just going to call
it. I know, but it's very interesting. I never even thought about it before.
Okay. I can't think of the last time I saw an advert. KFC, do they say 11 herbs and spices or 11 herbs and spices?
Oh, no. Let's pass the question off to you. Yeah. If you can find a KFC commercial, tell us, do they say herbs, 11 herbs and spices or 11 herbs and spices?
You want to know something funny? Total digression here about KFC, though.
We've already digressed.
That's true. KFC Twitter, I think it was the first person who noticed one like KFC for like a year or something. The first person who noticed that the Twitter account of KFC only followed 11 people. They followed the 5 Spice Girls and 6 random people named Herb. So they followed 11 herbs and spices.
That's so smart.
Yeah, and that's it. They've never followed anybody else. They follow 6 herbs and 5 spices, and it's their 11 herbs and spices. And I was like, I don't know which social media person came up with that for them, but 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the things that we got in, because we got in a whole bunch of herbs this week. We got in some basil, some dill. This is oregano. What do you think about cilantro?
I'm a no.
You're a no? I'm a total yes. I love it.
Oh, no.
I know. And that's another debate, right?
Yep.
Why are herbs so debatable?
It's like that saying, everybody thinks they have the best dog and nobody is wrong. I don't like ketchup. Yeah. So people immediately go, do you like tomatoes? Do you like pasta sauce? I'm like, it's literally not the same. Okay, I just don't like the other stuff they put in ketchup. Mm-hmm. I don't like cilantro, but there are any number of herbs I can grow that isn't cilantro.
I didn't even know that. I think it's cilantro. Cilantro is coriander.
Yep.
I had no idea. Look at all of that.
Somebody said to me, do you like coriander? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I've never had it. So they put coriander in the food. And I was like, I really don't like this. I don't like cilantro. And they were like, and then we put it together and I was like, see, that's why you shouldn't like it, because not only that, it's sneaky. It's like, it knows people don't like cilantro. So it's like, I'm not cilantro, I'm coriander. I am coriander.
I'm sure there's a bunch of ones that are kind of in that similar.
Basil is like, it's proud. It's like, I'm Basil. Call me anything you want. I'm Basil. Basil is my name, Basil. Hello, I'm Basil.
Okay, let's get into some seeds. We are way off track.
Yeah, we haven't even got into it.
We are way off track. Okay, so let's go through. I just piled a whole bunch of stuff here because what I realized is that a lot of these, I always thought, you know, like how fun it would be to work at Crayola and get to name the colors? This is how I feel like with seeds. This lettuce is called Drunken Woman.
You got to show me that. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Okay.
Okay. You know how you were talking about basil?
Yeah.
I love how many different kinds of basil there are. There's the Thai basil. There's like the sweet basil. This is called dark opal basil.
You know, I've never grown the red one.
It looks really
actually,
cool.
No, that's not true. I did once, but I grew it as an ornamental.
Okay.
I didn't eat it. I grew it as an ornamental because I needed something burgundy in a pot.
Okay.
And it puts out a lovely flower. So that's literally why I put it in. I didn't eat it, but I have grown it. I mean, it grows exactly like any other basil. What about this one, Brandy?
Okay. I saw this one, instantly thought of you. Stinging nettle.
They suck.
I mean, yes, you have some triggering memories with stinging nettle, but you also said you can make it into a tea.
Yeah. So it's a really strong plant.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one?
No, actually.
Okay. Very distinct. Once you've get stung once and you'll remember them forever. I mean, it's not excruciating pain. It's like white blisters and they're just really itchy and burny.
Oh.
And they really suck. It's very uncomfortable. It's not like agonizing pain. Once you boil it, all the stinging properties are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it cannot hurt. You just wear gloves when you're harvesting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some people who swear by it. When we landscaped in Montreal, we did a country estate out in a town called Knowlton in the Eastern Townships. The housekeeper was German. And she had nettles and we were like, oh, well, they're weeds. We're going to get rid of them. And she was like, oh, can you please leave them for me? I harvest them.
Cool.
Yeah. And she harvested them and dried them and made her own teas and whatnot. Would use them in cooking. Like she would boil them, prepare them and use them in like soups.
Wow.
And stews. And she swore by them.
So she would be a fan of this kind of thing. It's really cool. We've got parsley in here. We've got cilantro for your pets. We got cat grass, and I think I saw
catnip
over there as well.
We grew catnip one time in a garden in Montreal. There were like three or four cats just blitzed out of their mind, lying like, I love this garden. They loved that area, and they wouldn't even really damage it. They'd lie on it. Sure, they'd crush it down a little bit, but I mean, the client specifically wanted it, and what did you think was going to happen?
exactly.
Like, you know, I put pollinator blend and my yard is full of bees. I don't like this one bit. Do you like lavender?
I do.
Most people do, but have you found, I don't know if you know anybody who doesn't like it, people who don't like it really don't like it.
Oh, so it's like a cilantro kind of situation.
It's not as divisive. Like, I think it would be like, 1 in 50 don't like lavender. Like, there's some people who are like, I don't care for it.
It's weird. I don't like artificial lavender, but I like if
you like a room spray or something like or a candle.
Yeah, I don't like that, but I like it in its natural form. And I didn't realize that there were different kinds of lavender, like Spanish lavender, other lavender.
There's French, there's English.
Thank you.
I love lavender. I love the look of it. I love the smell of it. Lavender is one of those plants I cannot walk by without. I almost did on the cilantro. Get this away from you. Get out of here, you trickster double name sneak. That's a good one. Basil.
Yeah.
So I can't help myself when I walk by. But And get that. Even just that. I have the smell on my hand.
I'm going to do it with the
dough.
That didn't work.
Do it on the basil.
Oh, yeah. Instantly.
And then if it doesn't work, all you got to do is just snip a leaf and just do the scrunch. Oh. Just literally rub it between your fingertips. Yep. It's very, very faint
because it's still,
yeah, it's very faint because it's still young.
Because it's the oils that's inside of it that gives a herb its scent, right?
Oh, it's and you want to, okay, just totally apropos of nothing, but no, we're talking about things.
I really like that. Yeah. I also want to go back to lettuce because we're talking about like the drunken woman lettuce. I found the Fast and Furious blend.
Oh my God.
Oh my. But here's a cool one.
If it's not Vin Diesel, I don't want to hear it. Is it the family blend?
They don't even reference the movie in the description. But that lettuce blend that you have over there is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, this one? Tokyo Drift?
No, stop. I do use this one every year, though. And you know why? Because I have a small space garden. I'm in a townhouse. Yep. I love that it's just like a little mixture of everything. And I think it's great for city gardens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, city garden blend. See, that's the name I get behind. Makes sense. Right? Pragmatic side of me. I'm like, okay.
I'm guessing Fast and Furious wasn't about the movie. It's probably about how fast they grow.
That's and spread. Because here's something. Makes sense.
And this one's slow.
You plant it and it's falling over. You're like, what the hell? Do I have to stake my lettuce? Why is it throwing things at me now? But yeah, like the great thing is that I liked what you said at the beginning is there is so much diversity.
Yeah.
They grow so fast. Mm-hmm. They don't need sun. They work great. And a lot of them are also somewhat cold tolerant. So you can do early starts, your kales, your spinaches, lettuce. Yeah. I always read the pack. That's a good rule of thumb, but it never hurts to just put eyes because certain varieties might not be as cold hardy. So it never hurts to read. Some of them you can grow in shade. Mm-hmm. Some of them you can do in a window box, in a hanging container, straight in the ground. Like the diversity and capability of growing greens and then herbs, especially. Yeah, around on your kitchen counter.
I love that. Yeah. I want to get to a point in my gardening journey where I have herbs and lettuce growing inside all year round. Because you're right. They're fast growing, easily accessible. Brad said last year we started growing spinach for the first time and he loves spinach in his smoothies every day. He found it very rewarding to go outside every morning, snip a little bit of spinach off, take it inside. Like it takes extra time, but it's very rewarding and very good for you.
People who come up, it's not really a question. They make it a statement, but it's so good to turn it around and they go, oh, I'd love to grow food, but I have too much shade. Let's go. We're going for a walk to the seed section. Right?
Yep. So the kinds of things you can grow in the shade would be, you said it depends on the variety though, right?
Yeah. Always look. It never hurts. And then there's some that, you know, the rule of thumb is the other way. Basil isn't going to do very good in the shade. Lavender isn't going to do very good in the shade.
A bay leaf won't do good in the shade.
Exactly. So always read, but ones like mint. Mint will do good anywhere.
Yeah, let's talk about mint because remember last year we saw so many different varieties of mint. I think that's one that you can grow from seed, but you go to also take a trip to your garden center because even downstairs I was looking and I was like, where's all the cool mint, like the pineapple mint and the orange mint? And there weren't any. So
pineapple, orange, watermelon, strawberry, chocolate.
I love it. I kind of want to make a mint garden next year.
Mint. I'm going to address the elephant in the room with mint. Please don't put mint in your garden. Only grow mint in containers. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is unbelievably aggressive.
Yeah. Fast and Furious.
Yeah, exactly. Fast and Furious 2.
Yeah.
Mint Drift.
Like we do with all of our seed starting mini series episodes, kind of go into, you know, we already talked about sun exposure and to look at the different varieties. Companion planting, they can pretty much go on their own. The only thing you were talking about with mint is that you should probably leave it on its own. Any other aggressive herbs or lettuce?
They can all become somewhat aggressive. Yep. Here's the great thing. A lot of times herbs are the companion plant. Because they have so much oil in them, because they have such a strong fragrance, a lot of time herbs are the companion.
Oh,
herbs
cool.
are the buddies who come in to save the day. because some of the insects don't like the aroma or the oils or whatnot, so they won't eat it. So they know, oh, well, I'm not going to eat lavender, let's say. So you have lavender in your garden and the smell is so strong, they don't pick up the other plants and they go elsewhere. So they can act as almost like a natural barrier, a natural shield. So the herbs, do they need a companion planting? Sure, nobody wants to be lonely. And mint, sure, it can be aggressive, but you could do peppermint and spearmint together and have fun. But a lot of times, like look at what you're growing. And when we talked about companion planting, something that like is really sticking with me because we've never mentioned it before. Grow what, like, so here's a good one I do, and it's nothing to do with promoting the plants, but it's a great companion, and I call it the teapot. And every year I do a big pot, and I plant herbs in it for Jenny because she loves her herbal tea.
That's such a good idea.
And I call it the teapot.
That's such a good idea.
And that's the companion, so she can cut them and dry them, and then she can mix and match so she can do lemon balm lavender.
Okay, please go to our blog. goldenacre.ca/blog. We're going to put up on our show notes. I am going to get like inspo for a teapot pot. And then maybe other people would want to do something like that. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. And so we'll grab all of the herbs that you use and we'll put that on the blog.
For sure. Yeah. And it's that's super easy to care for and they're super fun. And every year Jenny loves it. She goes out. Her favorite is always lavender because she also loves the fragrance of it. Yeah. But and it's so fun to name that. It's a teapot.
I think that's the cutest thing. I mean, in the past, I've seen other themed pots like the Italiano pasta night pot. And it's got like the basil, oregano in it.
Salsa pot.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen
cilantro
that. I mean, what a neat idea, though, creating a pot. Like if you really like pasta, why not create a pot with all of the things together in one pot?
Exactly. And brilliant. Then when you go out, you only need, you're not like, oh, now I got to go all the way over here to get my basil. And
Okay. Do we want to start these indoors, outdoors? Does it matter?
Again, so here's the other elephant in the room, especially in Calgary. Basil can be real hard to grow outdoors. Like not even start. I'm saying to keep outdoors.
Oh.
Basil is really, really susceptible to weather change. It does not like being cold. It doesn't like water sitting on its leaves. And in Calgary, it can be the height of summer, but our rain is always cold and our rain can come down hard.
Yeah.
Basil really doesn't like it. I know a lot of people who have told me, they're like, I give up on basil. And I'm like, grow it indoors. And they're like, how? I hook them up and they're like, oh my God. Because they want it. They want it on their pizza and they want it in their Italian food or, you know, just even just the fragrance of it. So basil, I recommend keeping indoors. Okay. Absolutely. It will live outdoors. I have grown it in Calgary outdoors, but it can turn like that.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's a big gamble.
Yeah, it really is. You can lose your entire, and I've lost my entire crop. Other years I've been successful. That's an indoor one.
Okay.
The rest, a lot of them are cold hardy. A lot of them are fast. I don't believe I've ever started my greens indoors.
Okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it, herbs, indoors for sure, but I'm using them indoors.
Yeah.
I don't think I've, maybe with the exception of something like lavender, takes a bit longer because you're growing it for the blooms and whatnot, so you're getting there. The vast majority of them, they grow so fast and furious.
Nice. But I noticed that we do have seed tape. And this is for romaine lettuce. Does it matter so much with the lettuces? Obviously, the herbs, you want to make sure that you are planting at the distance because that'll become an entire plant. But like for something like, like the City Garden blend, do you have to be very particular when you're planting it?
You can get away with a lot with lettuce, spinach as well. I think the most I ever did was 5 heads of lettuce in a 16-inch pot.
Wait, it's like 5 seeds?
Yeah.
Okay.
5 seeds. Yeah, grew 5 heads of lettuce and 16-inch pot would be about that. So measuring a 16-inch pot, I'll just bring this up because I mentioned this a lot and it just occurred to me right now. Maybe people are like 16 inches tall.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So when you're talking about a 16-inch pot, it's a 16-inch diameter on the inside measurement.
Right.
Okay, so the widest part of the circle, you measure that is 16 inches. So it might taper down, it might be straight, it might even flare out. Doesn't matter. What is the top ring? That's your measurement. And I think it was a 16-inch pot. I want to say Might have been a little bigger somewhere in that region, doesn't matter. And I did one in the middle, four on the outside, worked great.
Do you ever notice that some pot measurements are like 16-inch pot and then you have a 1 gallon pot?
Yeah.
I'm like, why can't it be standardized?
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll see growers pots.
Yeah.
The seed starting ones, they're a 3-inch pot, a 4-inch pot, 8-inch, 6-inch, 12-inch, 1 gallon.
What happened?
Because a lot of times the 1 gallon will still be 12 inches across at the top, but it's deeper.
Right, because of the root system. Yep.
So add something to it. We can live with that. Like, I wouldn't be that offended or bothered if it was like it would fit in the lexicon, a 3x3 pot. That means 3 inches across, 3 inches deep.
I love that.
Yeah. 12, 16, 12 yeah. inches across, 16 inches deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like jeans.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Let's re-standardize the pot industry. Single-handedly, Brandy and I are taking on big pottery.
Like, we don't need to, but for some reason it just grinds our gears. Okay. So obviously, you know, when we're growing, we can grow them a couple of times. Once it finishes, we can continue to grow.
Well, let's talk about that real quick too.
Ooh, pot twist. Because I like it. Dun, dun, dun.
This is not as exciting as I led on, but
it'd be so fun.
It's like so anticlimactic now. No, I'm sorry. Finish what you were saying. The wonderful thing about herbs and lettuce and whatnot is when you harvest them, they're not done. So you can cut a head of lettuce. Do not pull it out. Cut it. And then the next time you need lettuce, cut the next one. The next time you need it, cut it. By the time you've gone around, the fifth one will already be this tall again.
Yeah.
Because it stores herbs. You're not cutting them down to the ground. Cut 1/3 off them consistently. Don't let them go to flower and they will just keep producing for you and they'll start bushing out. You'll get more herbs off them. This isn't a one and done plant. Now, some of them are. Some of them absolutely are. I believe even some lettuce, might be, and it's not a guarantee, but I never pull mine out. Never. I always cut them and frequently they come back.
Okay. And let's talk about that don't let them go to flower bit, because I didn't know this. I had been growing herbs for years. My mom grew herbs for years and I got lazy and didn't. And I was like, oh, look, it's flowering. It's so cute. And then you're like, okay, what's the purpose of you growing? Are you growing it for flower? Are you growing it for an edible thing? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat it. And then you're like, okay, cut off the flower. And I was like, what?
How dare you?
What? Okay, so tell us, why do we take the flowers off?
So technically you live head your herbs.
Oh, live head.
Yeah, instead of dead head.
Oh, different than dead head.
Yeah, so you're cutting off a living head, a viable flower. The herb is not producing all of these delicious flavors for us. Like I said, it's a bizarre defense mechanism. They've defended themselves against other predators that would eat them and bugs. And well, that's heckin' delicious. So they develop the flavors and whatnot to keep themselves alive. Why does any plant keep itself alive? So that it can propagate. So it kept itself alive to put out a flower. And then once it's flowering, the oils and everything, all of that energy to create the oils and what the oils are doing all go into flower production. So now suddenly the herb is like, well, I don't need to taste delicious. I don't have the energy for that. I'm putting out a flower. If something attacks me, that's fine because I've already been pollinated. I've got the seed. I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. So once it goes to flower, you can find the leaves lose all flavor. They become bitter. They become acrid. They're not nearly as good. And sometimes if they've gone to flower and you cut the flowers, they don't always come back the same way.
Oh, no. So you really have to keep on it, assuming that you're growing it to be an edible thing.
You want to feed the pollinators, grow herb flowers. Mm-hmm. Because much like you cut back the foliage, you know, you trim this. Sorry, I had to get a whiff of it.
It's very tantalizing. Yeah. It's just like tempting.
I know. I love it. But you trim this, it's going to come back. You trim the flowers, they'll come back. So if you deadhead them, the whole purpose is to propagate. They're an annual, so they're like, let's put out more flowers. Mm-hmm. You want to attract pollinators to your garden, herb flowers, they go mental for them. They really do. I don't know. I think it's, in my mind, I'm like, well, nobody ever lets their herbs go to flowers. So the pollinators are like kids in a candy shop.
Yeah.
You're like, you never let your kids go into the candy shop. And then when you do, they're like, candy! Candy! And that's what I think the bees are. The bees are like, don't tell anybody else, Charles.
No, I know.
But there is some basil flower. And then they're like, oh my God. And you got like this. I'm sure that's not what it is, but that's how I like to picture it.
Now I'm going to picture that from now on.
So cool. Yeah, you can let them go to flower. A lot of them do put out a beautiful flower, but if you're purpose-driven, i.e. food,
yeah,
that's where you want to be.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about, obviously with vessel options, we were talking, they're pretty good in everything.
Yeah.
No problem, you know, but when we're talking about soil preparation, is there anything special we need to do for that? Because I know so far we've talked about a sort of a mixture, some like a really nutrient dense soil, some you need a little bit more airy. What about these?
They're like a lighter soil, mixed soil. And the vast majority of them, again, so this great, great segue into this part because it ties in beautifully to what we're seeing. We don't want them to flower.
Yeah.
So what you're looking for a fertilizer with your leafy greens is high nitrogen.
Okay.
Because nitrogen is above ground leafy growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. And that's one of the reasons
that's
why.
That's the first number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the reason why. If we go back to nettles, these stinging bad guys is a nice way of putting it. Apparently, one of the reasons they like it is because they really love high nitrogen, which can be found in air pollution. A lot of people do herbs in containers. You can move them around. They're relatively hardy. And sometimes, like mint, nettle can also do it. I don't know about Calgary. Definitely Montreal, Vancouver, England. I'm not sure about, I don't believe I've ever seen a stinging nettle in the wild, which would tell me that I think we're just a little too cold for them to survive here.
Yeah.
But all of them run the risk of being invasive.
Mm-hmm.
You have something that reacts really well to a container that can take shady areas, that can be crammed a little bit tighter. Why would you take up a prime sun area in your garden to put something like that?
Yeah. I mean, like you say before, you know, consider all your space,
yeah.
Consider hanging baskets, consider.
Exactly.
What did you say one time? You said, you know, that oregano or thyme or something like that would look really nice in a hanging basket.
Yep.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And window boxes are great too, because especially if you open your window and then you got all the fragrance of the herbs, kitchen window.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to be starving when we're done this episode.
I know. But how do you know what a light soil is? What do you look for?
So a light soil, really, really easy way to do that is if you're going to do your own blend, add a lot of cocoa coir or a lot of peat moss. You want it very loose. Okay. So almost like the bags of premix that we have here, like the Pro Mix.
Okay.
Whatnot. That is a very, very, very loose soil.
Okay.
It's a light soil. So basically what it does is holds moisture, allows really good drainage. A lot of herbs don't like to sit in water. They do require water. They are a production plant. They have a lot going on. But they like to be well-drained. They like a loose, friable soil. And then you can always fertilize throughout the season.
Nice. Okay.
Yep.
That's almost even more of an incentive to do them in pots, because then you just get like a nice premix from the store, put it in the pot. Then your plants will grow really well.
They're really simple to do. Most of them, I have done them in the ground. I just really prepare my soil. Mm-hmm. I add a lot of peat moss. I add a lot of compost. I don't have peat moss anymore. I used to now. I've swapped to coir. I'm a coir guy now. And just really, really mix it in. And I've never had a problem growing them in the ground. But to me, it's valuable real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, my earth is valuable real estate. I can do tomatoes and peppers and whatnot there when these will do great in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not bringing my tomato in at the end of the year. If my herbs are still viable and I'm in the autumn, I can bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can take cuttings. Harry and I, we lost them when we moved. And it was a bit of a shame. And when I say lost them, they just didn't survive because it's moving time. There's always casualties. I think it was 5 or 6 years running, we had the same mint plant.
For 5 years?
Yeah, so we grew it in a pot. And then when the fall came, we trimmed it. We took all of the trimmings, put them in a glass, put them on the windowsill. All winter, they would root. We would take that, stick it in a pot in the spring, grow it. The end of that year, trim them all, stick them in a pot, put out the roots, put them back in it, rinse and repeat.
And you never, like, they always tasted the same?
Yep. Yeah, it just keeps regenerating. So we did that the first year. Harry asked, and I was like, yeah, it would work. And he's like, well, can we do it? And I was like, sure. So we did it, and it worked, and then it just became our thing every year. And I think we had the same mint plant. I think it was maybe 5 years. They're versatile. Again, you can dry them at the end of the year. You can just make sure everything's dried. Use what you can fresh. Or on some of them, take cuttings, propagate, and away you go again next
year. Can you do the same with lettuce? Can you propagate from a leaf?
No, not from a leaf. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't stick a lettuce leaf. There isn't any kind of... you basically need something where roots would come from.
Right.
Mint, it's going to come out of the leaf node. So you see those little nodes beneath the meat leaf. You stick that in. That's where your roots come out.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So herbs, most herbs, you can do that, but lettuce, no.
Yeah.
Let's talk about structures and equipment. I don't think there's really anything that you need to support these while they grow. But you were talking
maybe
about
the drunken woman.
Yeah, maybe. but you were talking about being cold hardy, but it's probably still a good idea to keep in mind the frost.
Yeah.
You're talking about maybe frost blankets, things like that.
Cold hardy, frost is really going to mess up everything.
Mm.
Okay. The reason what happens is the frost hits it and it causes those tiny, tiny little cells that are filled with water, which is the cell wall, to freeze because they're tiny. So just the thinnest layer of frost. And then they freeze and then it expands and it ruptures the cell wall and that's what kills the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when it's frosty, it's got to be cold.
Mm.
So some plants like, basil, impatiens,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter if you cover them or not. The air is just too cold for them to live. So when it says cold hardy, it doesn't mean that they're going to, there are some plants, chrysanthemums are frost hardy.
Mm.
They're nice and thick. And sometimes I think when it's a light frost, they look even nicer.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
They kind of go two-tone and they get that crispness mm-hmm. to them. But frost is not your friend.
Just a no-go for these.
Frost is the gardener's F word.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go into common bugs, diseases, and predators. What kind of bugs do you think we need to be worried about with this?
A lot of them are very resistant. If you do get bugs, you're really only going to see aphids and spider mites.
Do you think ladybugs are going to be as effective on something like this?
Okay. Ladybugs don't care. They are a voracious predator. Standing water, you're going to get stem rot, and the stems just rot out. They just blacken. You can get a lot of powdery mildew. Another good reason to cut your herbs back, because herbs will bunch together.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of them in a pot, and now there isn't a lot of airflow. And some of them can get hit with powdery mildew.
Okay.
So you want to keep an eye on that. But anytime you do it, if you just use best gardening practices, such as maintaining airflow, being careful with your watering, they're going to be relatively resistant.
Yeah, make sure your pot has good drainage.
Yep.
If you're in an area that gets a lot of rain, I think being in a pot can be kind of bad news if you don't have good drainage.
Especially, and good point. Good point as well, especially if you're in the shade. Because it doesn't dry out as quick.
That's right, yeah.
So if you got a lot of rain and your pot's in the shade, that water can really sit there. But that's another reason why you have a light soil.
Mm-hmm.
Allow that good drainage.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye on airflow and moisture. And like I'm really racking my brain here. And other than like I already touched on basil getting nailed by adverse weather, I genuinely cannot think of a time when I have lost a herb crop.
Good.
Yeah.
That's very comforting, actually.
And I, the thing is, well, you wash your herbs before you eat them. So if you do get something, you can release ladybirds or you can even hit them with just a very clean insecticidal soap.
Okay. Okay.
Right? And that'll take care of it. But I have never, not once, have I lost an entire herb crop. Sure, I've seen some damage.
Yeah.
You know, slugs have come for a bite and mm-hmm. whatnot. But I've never been so overwhelmed that it's been an issue.
Okay. So, and I know when we're talking about predators, you know, sometimes we grow things for predators.
Yeah.
But are there any sort of things that we need to be careful of? I know last week we talked about things like bunnies.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the animals will come and check it out because of the smell. Squirrels might dig them out. Keep an eye on it. If you see something nibbling on it, address it accordingly. But a lot of times as well, like if you live in an area that has a lot of bunny rabbits and you plant lettuce, Yeah, you should be drawing that parallel that you're not, your lettuce is going to get this big before it's gone.
Yeah.
Like they love it. Herbs, a little safer because a lot of the animals, that's the defense mechanism they developed. The defense mechanism is they don't taste good.
So maybe you can plant them together.
Oh, a great tip, especially for your leafy greens, use bone meal. Oh, blood meal. Sorry, blood meal.
Blood meal.
Blood meal, it's a fertilizer.
Okay.
Okay. Normally on blood meal, the NPK is going to be 10-0-0.
Nitrogen.
Exactly.
Ta-da!
Wicked high nitrogen, and the animals hate the smell of it. Exactly what you need, and you're keeping it. So when I lived in Mount Pleasant years ago, I grew all my lettuce at ground level in the bed, and it's Mount Pleasant. It is full of bunnies and squirrels and everything
that
else.
Is.
And I used to just wring the entire bed and then go through the bed with blood meal. Didn't lose any lettuce. And then every once in a while, when I harvested the lettuce, I'd throw some leaves onto the lawn for them.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Quid pro quo.
You're still a good neighbor.
Exactly. I love bunnies. I want them to be okay.
Yeah. So we talked about fertilizer. We talked about watering, harvesting. When can you harvest? Obviously, when it's too late to harvest is when you start to get flowers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really hard sometimes to figure out when that sweet spot is. Like, you're watching it and you're like, is today the day?
So the blessing and curse, you can't really harvest too early.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all seen baby spinach.
Yeah, that's okay. True.
Yeah, we've all seen baby lettuce.
Yeah.
The herbs, just think of it like this. You only want to take 1/3 of it off. Okay, maybe a half, mm-hmm. but a half is pushing it. 1/3. Is your plant big enough to drop it by 1/3 without damaging the plant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Yeah. If it's got 3 leaves, are you really just cutting 1 leaf off? Is that going to do a lot for you? Probably not. So allow them to get a bit more mature. But baby kale, baby spinach, baby lettuce are all delicious,
mm-hmm.
right? That's why the bunnies love them so much. So you really can't go wrong with how early you harvest it. Keep an eye on it. Make sure they don't go to flower and harvest accordingly. And if it does go to flower, it's not the end of the world. Pollinators will love you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got a time frame. Oh, well, that's how long it takes to go to flower.
So how do you dry herbs? Because I've always been curious. I know that there's some kind of methods like hanging herbs to dry them. I've also seen the method, like if you're drying mint to use for tea, for example, there's like the screen method.
Yep.
And then you just leave them to dry in a warm environment. Do you have any tips for that kind of thing?
The best one, I was guilty because I liked the aesthetic, but I didn't realize it wasn't awesome. Hanging them in the window.
Is that not good?
No.
Oh, why?
Because the sun will absolutely, you want them in a, they dry out too quick. They lose a lot of their flavor.
Yeah.
It is not awesome. It is absolutely a Hollywood movie aesthetic. Because I was like, I love this. And I've got all my herbs in the kitchen, smells amazing. And it's not great.
I know we've had a conversation about Instagram, but like, that's all you see on Instagram. It's just herbs in the window. I didn't realize that wasn't good.
They grow great in the window. Do not dry them in the window. Best way to dry them, unfortunately, is 100% not aesthetic.
Yeah.
Cut them. Put them in a brown paper bag. Sandwich bag works. anything. Now, obviously, if we're talking about our bigger leafy greens, lettuce, kale, spinach, mm-hmm. just go with the big three. Just put them in the fridge.
Yeah.
Okay. They're a veggie. They're going in the fridge. Your herbs. Brown paper bag and put it somewhere dark.
Okay.
Warm and dark. And just let them dry slowly. Every once in a while, open it, vent it, make sure they're doing okay mm-hmm. because moisture, if it gets trapped in, can cause you some problems. And just let them dry nice and slowly on their own. Putting them on a sheet also works. I don't have really enough room to be putting out huge sheets to dry individual leaves.
If you do, please.
Yeah. So I always do the bag. I'm willing to bet right now, if I went home, I haven't looked in a while, and opened up the tea cupboard, I'm willing to bet there's a brown paper bag in there that Jenny has that still has all of her perfectly dried lavender, and I bet you it smells amazing.
Mm.
And then she'll take that out, and then she'll crumble it up, and she'll put it in her tea, brew some tea, and she's good to go.
Well, if you have any questions about herbs, lettuce, growing them from seeds, or just growing them out in the garden, feel free to reach out to us. There's so many ways to do so. If you're listening on Spotify, we have our questions and polls available. We would love your input on those. You can email us at info@goldenacre.ca. Just put in the subject line, podcast or something. You are distracting me, sir.
Sorry, but they smell so. I'm like, well, you're doing your thing. I'm going to smell herbs.
It's like all I can see you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram. You can even leave us an anonymous voicemail. We would love to actually hear your voice. You get to listen to us all the time. We want to hear you, right?
Exactly. And if you're called Herb, we really want to hear from you.
Actually, yes. That is the Spotify question this week. Do you say Herb or do you say Herb? And I really want to know. Yeah. Like, I really want to know.
And here's the other question. Do you say Herb or Herb? And does it change if you're talking about a person?
Yeah, that's going to be the third option.
Basil's never going to look at you and be like, it's Herb, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
But if you were like, hey, how's it going, Herb? They're like, my name is Herb.
Yeah, if you are Herb, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Next,
we have questions.
Yeah, we have lots of questions. Yeah. And also if you're named Basil or Basil.
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 Yeah. Basil, Basil.
If someone called you Basil.
Ooh, Basil. Did you ever watch Fawlty Towers?
No.
Oh, I just aged myself. It's John Cleese from Monty Python. You should watch them. It's so funny. And it's called Fawlty Towers and his name is Basil Fawlty.
Oh.
And he owns a hotel in Torquay.
That comes up, hey?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, next week, I'm really excited because you remember in the first episode when we were talking about the three sisters companion planting? We are finally bringing in the third sister. We're talking about gourds, squash, berries, like all of those fruits and vegetables that grow just above the ground that can support themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to be talking about watermelon, broccoli, cucumber, pumpkins, strawberries, like all of the fun
zucchini.
Things. Zucchini.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you
zucchini
really?
Zucchini bread.
I even like
zucchini grilled, let's be honest.
I'm not, I don't know what it is. I'm not a fan.
No.
Not a fan of zucchini.
We can still be friends. That's okay.
Well, it is. Then I can give you all of my zucchini.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll trade these, right? Well, that's all next week. So we'll save that for next episode.
Okay. Bye, everyone.